just three verses. If you underline and highlight, these are precious verses. Verse 14, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. Every man, every woman, every child, every teenager needs to learn that verse. You want to talk about body image problems, self-esteem issues, too skinny, too fat, too much up here, too little down there, hair not right, hair too thin, hair too thick, hair too curly, hair too straight, whatever the confines of modern American concept of beauty, teenagers having plastic surgery simply because their friends have had it, 20 and 25-year-olds having eating and issues and problems, all those kind of things. Let me scream to you. Let me yell to you. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. God knew exactly what he was doing with you. Miss Van Hoos yesterday from East Kentucky, blind since birth, sang the congregation and the president and all the cabinet to tears at the prayer service yesterday morning, praising God through her infirmity. She is fearfully and wonderfully made. The 95-year-old who hasn't recognized anyone in a decade is fearfully and wonderfully made. And the infant, unborn still in mama's belly, is fearfully and wonderfully made. Look at verse 17, 15. My substance was not hid from me. In other words, when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. He's using poetic language here. It's not been that many years we've been able to see inside of the mother's womb and understand that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. The picture of the decade, the 90s, picture perhaps of the century. Open heart, open womb surgery performed there. And the doctor, as he is operating, trying to save mother and baby's life, the hand reaches through mother's belly, grabs the surgeon's finger. Time photographer captured the moment, gone around the world. We know now what we assumed then, that we are fearfully and wonderfully made, even what we cannot see, what God has always been able to see. Verse 16, thine eyes did see my substance, being yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, while as yet there was none of them. God knew me before I had fingers and toes and hair, before I had a little nose. God knew me before I had two eyes. God knew me before my belly button was an outie or an innie, or like me, a Hopi. And God knew me, has known all about me, and has always known me. God said, the psalmist said, I will praise you. Why? Because God has fearfully and wonderfully made me. And I want to help us today. Would you bow your head? Let's pray together this morning. Father, Lord, I don't back up. I don't want to apologize. I don't want to compromise. I do want to be pastoral. I do want to be warm-hearted. Such a divisive issue, and it is crazy that it is. It is the problem of evil. It is the curse of darkness in our culture that this is divisive as it is. And I know there are many who will listen to this on live stream, who will watch this later on, who will listen to this, or sitting in the crowd today, who do not agree. And they are confused in politics and morality. And I want to help them and I want them to know that they are loved. And then what will be said today is not an arrow shot at them. And for every woman, every man who's here, who somebody lied to in the past, and they made a terrible choice, and they feel the guilt of that most every day, we weep with them. For every well-meaning parent or grandparent who suggested this and who knows what a colossal error that was, we weep with them today. And I pray that you would help us. Help us to hear the Word of God. Help us to see the plain teaching of Scripture. Help us to understand the culture we live in and have the correct response. And give us the backbone and courage and heart to do what is right and help others see what is right. Lord, I still believe this is not just a legislative thing. It is a heart matter. Help us to change hearts about this issue that everyone is fearfully and wonderfully made. Use me, I pray. May I speak your word with power and authority. Help me to say the things that are right. And may I say the things gently but candidly, Lord. I pray all this in Jesus' precious name. And amen. You can be seated. You can be seated. It's hard to believe, based upon what you'd look in the newspapers and the television screens, that people apparently don't know how to count on a Friday for the election. And boy, that was a big story. It still is a big story, and all that about the crowds being on the side streets and stuff. I'd never thought that'd been one of the first presidential conferences or conferences. And I'd sure never thought CNN, NBC, ABC, CBS would have carried live people using unbelievable profanity and not bleep them on live TV all day yesterday, and going after each other and going after, apparently men are really bad, what I read. And I'm ashamed for all of us today, to be honest with you. Man, that was rough stuff. And if you hadn't looked at it, don't bother. It's rough. And it's a coarse. And a lot of things there. You'd have never convinced me in 2017 that the most controversial thing would be those two things I've talked about. And that's what everybody's in a lather about. And that's what everybody in their churches, not ours, devoting themselves to apparently previously. Apparently I wasn't in with the program because I wasn't 24/7 politics last year and promotion, those kind of things. Instead, trying to encourage you to vote a biblical worldview, I reckon I was in the minority. So be it, by the way. So be it. Some trust in chariots. I'm going to trust in the name of the Lord our God. I'm more interested in the souls of men than who's sitting in Nashville, who's sitting in D.C., amen. Be fine with me if they just leave us alone. Can anybody give an amen there? And that's okay. It's okay, but there are things we have to speak to. There are things we have to talk about. And I'm curious why in the world that this is not the thing that is 24/7 on television. I'm curious why this is not the thing that grips us and that bothers us. It is, again, hard for me to believe that the most controversial thing, by the way, is something that happened back in November, not happened Friday. That's the election, new president and vice president here in the country, and then the women's rally and all this. And I want to suggest to you that whatever you feel or think about the issue of the sanctity of life, I want to encourage you that there are lots and lots of folks out here who are really, really stirred up. And again, I'm using a real broad brush here, and I don't mean to be that broad, but just for sake of time here. And I want to help you. I've entitled this Murders, Lies, and Hope. Murders, Lies, and Hope. And I want to help you here. I want to help you. I'll give you the reason why I say that at the end of the story, end of this here. This year, this Sunday, actually today, 44 years ago, since 1973 Roe versus Wade Supreme Court decision legalized the killing of unborn children. And that's the way you say it. It legalized the killing, unrestricted, unfettered, not late term, early term, but any of that. More than that, since that time, roughly 57 million children have been aborted in our nation. And just let that sink in for a second. If I can help you here, that's the entire population of California, Oregon, Washington, Nevada, Idaho, and Utah. How many children have been aborted? It's the entire population of California, Oregon, Washington, Nevada, and Idaho. If you want to use countries, that's the entire nation country of South Africa, South Korea, or Spain. We're talking about entire populations have been wiped out since 1973. The for-profit organization Planned Parenthood has performed approximately 7 million of those. If you were paying attention last year with the undercover reporting, you saw not only did they charge a modicum fee for that, but then they took the surgical remains of those children. They sold them at an obscene profit markup. talking about them in such ways that just made you shudder. It's so graphic and so ugly, I wouldn't even dare show it in here, even though I was tempted to just maybe shock us back into things. Let me give you a few statistics here. I want to really just kind of set the stage. You can write some of these down. Statistically, this is not in here, but statistically, if you take the population of the U.S., about 1 in 3 women will have an abortion by age 45. They will be told for different reasons. They will be counseled. Again, I have no doubt that this is true. These are not my statistics. These are secular statistics here. But they will have an abortion. They have this procedure. Nearly two-thirds of these women will say they're believers. That means they're coming out of churches just like ours, churches like around here. And they have a slip up with a boyfriend. They have something come up, or they're newly married. Don't think they're ready for a child, and they'll have a doctor recommend to terminate the pregnancy, and they'll say it like that. But they'll check the box that they are Christ followers here. They're Christ followers. About half of those, by the way, are younger. This is the malady here. Some of you had children or maybe have grandchildren at secular schools. You see the women's health clinic. Well, that's what they do there. You know, or you see these kind of things. They have flyers. They pass them out. It's on the websites and all, actively promoting these things. Lena Dunham, infamously, about a month and a half ago on a radio program, said that she was upset that she had never had an abortion. She wanted to participate in this, and people just jumped all over, and she fired right back. And again, as she speaks for that generation here who thinks that it's a badge of honor. Again, we're talking about typically younger women here. Most of these women, by the way, the vast majority, 85%, will change their minds if you show them an ultrasound. That's why in legislature after legislature, that's why in city council after city council, that's why they fight against having a pregnancy crisis pregnancy center like the one that Evan is affiliated with, the Hope Center, as they start those, because they have ultrasound machines in there. Because if a woman sees an ultrasound, she knows she has a baby and not a blob. They see that there has not just a fetus, but a child. They see the hands and the fingers. They see the baby open and close their eyes. They see that, and that maternal instinct kicks in, and they know this, and they have sued all these places and all these times to prohibit these ultrasound machines from going in. We've raised money personally to do this, to put these machines in, because we knew if a woman would come in there in crisis and see the child, that she would keep that baby, whether she gave it up for foster or adoption or anything, those kind of things like that, and they would do that. And so one of the reasons that we're both feet all in for the Hope Center and places like that is because we know, man, if they can get to one of those places, they can see that it's a child and that they'll keep that child, or they won't murder that child, they won't abort that child. That sounds like a good idea to me, by the way, doesn't it? If I can just get them there, About 13% of those women are African American, yet they account for more than 35% of all abortions. Let me say it a different way. It's a little hard to follow here. Almost 1 in 2 African American pregnancies end in abortion. Almost 1 in 2 African American pregnancies end in abortion. Look right here for a second. For everybody who thinks black people and Mexicans and white people and black people and Asians and, you know, whatever television program you watch where different people hate each other, the race war, the race genocide is being carried out in clinics all across the country as they are mass murdering black babies to the tune of almost 1 out of every 2. If that was in Rwanda, we'd call it genocide. In Aleppo, it is genocide. It goes on right here, and we're just as quiet as we can be. Let me help you. And the black church says nothing, while their women are being lied to and are slaughtering their children. And it's wickedness. Can I get another amen? Almost 1 in 2. I did have that slide. Almost 1 in 2. Less than 1 in 7 Caucasian or white women, but almost 1 out of every 2. It is heartbreaking. It is heart-rending. Hispanic women account for almost a fourth of all abortions. Almost a fourth of all abortions. Again, the Latino community, the Latin community are being vilely afflicted here and don't even know it. If you take those numbers together, you will see the real brush and the real impetus here. And I'll describe it at the end because it is racial. It is population control. It was always intended to do this and to be this. We've just kind of civilized it a little bit here in our country, in our country. Let me give you a couple other things. By the way, in about 85%, almost 90, almost statistically, they're unmarried. They're unmarried. Look right here. Right here. Keep your hands off each other and keep your clothes on. Keep yourself till you get married. That's what the Bible says. You want the best life and the best, you want the best sexual experience. You want all those kind of things. You stay pure till you get married. You say, I do. And then when you leave here, you go enjoy your honeymoon. That is always classically has been the Bible way. Let me help you. But if you disobey and you rebel and a baby comes out of that, you're just as welcome as you were before. And you're just as loved as you were before. And you need to repent and you need to get right with God. But you don't need to commit two sins. That is what you did with that boy and what that boy did to you with you and what you're about to do to that baby. There are people lined up with money in hand, rooms already built, who would love to be a foster parent, who would love to be an adoptive parent, who would love to give those children homes. Don't you dare sin twice and then live with double guilt the rest of your life. Don't do that. Don't do that. I don't know where people got in their mind that, man, if I sin big enough, then the church and God doesn't love me. No, God loved us while we were yet sinners. What's the rest of that verse? And Christ died for us. He didn't die for us when we were good. He died for us because we were awful and evil and wicked and rotten and bad. Church needs to be known for that. We're talking Stalin kind of numbers here. Let me give you a few myths here. You still with me this morning? Still with me? It's a great book. If you like to read this kind of thing, it's called Abuse of Discretion. It's a fairly new book. It's by a guy named Clark Forsyth. He may be a believer, but anyway, he's written kind of clinically looking at this whole thing in America the last 44 years, and he writes about these myths that come up. And I want to help you know how to talk about this in your home, know how to talk about this in your workplace and all. Let me give you a few of these myths here and give you a response. Myth number one, abortion was always a common and widely practiced throughout history. That's just not true. Not true. All throughout the 60s and 70s, the fact is abortion was always rare. Well into the 19th century, almost all these abortive methods were either ineffective or almost dangerous to the mother. Again, the RU pill, the morning after pill, is an abortificant. It's abortive drug. I mean, not to make you laugh there, but anyway, it's got two V's and two F's, and I can't say it. Again, got passed politically, not because it was safe for mom. Not safe at all for mom. The side effects, man, are two pages. It's unbelievable here. You know, why? And they've known that this was the case. And even some of these things throughout history, some children were aborted, they were terminated sometimes, but to say that it was always this way, no, there had been infanticide, there had been abandonment. People would leave the babies. Again, you had these shelters. Some of you that grew up in a big city, you still know some of the churches and the places where people would have a child and go leave the child on the doorstep. There was abandonment with some other things. But to say this has always been the case is not historically accurate. Number two, that's false. Number two, there, women were dying by the thousands because of the back alley abortions. This is almost gospel in public schools. It's almost gospel in public schools and public institutions, colleges. They were just dying all the time, back alley abortions. Let me give you the numbers here. The number of maternal, that's mom deaths. Number of maternal deaths from all cases, anything, was 780 in 1972. That was down, by the way. Anybody know that factor there? That was down from 7,267 in 1942. Of the 780, 140 were listed as abortive deaths by the NCHS. And by the way, in moms who died in childbirth, another 102. If you take that out of those, you've got almost none. A very little sample there. There were not thousands and thousands dying in back alley abortion. That was just a word picture they used, by the way, that still in 2017 is very effective. It's not the case. Not a case. It's false. False. Number three, myth number three. Number three, existing abortion laws targeted women. Again, not the case. Not the case. All states with any kind of anti-abortion laws treated the woman as a victim. Treated the woman as a victim, that they were coerced, or that they were, or all these things. They didn't prosecute women, and the prosecution was not enforceable. They always treated a woman as a second victim of the abortion there. This has been the consistent policy of states for nearly a century before Roe versus Wade. It's just not true. Just not true. Destruction of the baby was never treated as infanticide. It's infanticide. You go all the way back to the 1200s. The unborn child or the child. In the 19th century, 17 states referred to the crime against an unborn child as manslaughter, murder, or assault with intent to murder. Late 80s, early 90s, many states began to have the double homicide. If you killed an expectant mother, you were treated with two charges of manslaughter, vehicular manslaughter. And people were very upset about this because they knew if you started referring to the fetus as a child, you would remind people what had always been legal precedent in the United States. No, it's always been the other way around. Well, I've been the other way around. Our abortion laws are mainstream compared to the rest of the world. No, that's not true. The United States is only one of 10 that allow abortion after 14 weeks in mama's belly. Only four other countries allow for abortion, any other reason: Canada, North Korea, China, and the United States. We are not mainstream. We are leading the pack. Abortion is safer than childbirth. Abortion is safer than childbirth. Roe versus Wade, they produced 7 medical journals, by the way, and the medical journals all speculative. None of it was any research. This medical mantra all the time, all the time. It wasn't data-driven. It was the editorial. They said, well, this is safer than this, and this is safer than this. No, 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 still a procedure, still this. By the way, women have been having children for millennia without any doctors around. Nod your head if you understand that. It's not safer, it's just a myth here. The country is divided. The country is divided on the issue of abortion. The country is divided on the issue of abortion. Well, true and false. True and false. Let me give you a couple things. Write these in your margins there. In 2009 poll, only 7% of Americans think abortion should be allowed at any time for any reason. By the way, which is exactly what Roe versus Wade mandated. Rasmussen in 2010 said that 53% of all women believe abortions are too easy to get compared with 42%. 58% of women in the same study, same Rasmussen poll, 58% of women believe abortion is morally wrong, almost 6 out of 10. 50% or 5 out of 10 of men agree with the same statement. Actually, more women say it's wrong than men. That's not a Christian survey. Rasmussen is not a Christian polling group. This is a, when you talk about this, when you say the country is divided, you are right and you are wrong. You are right and you are wrong. Again, if you watched TV yesterday, you would assume it's really, really divided. Really divided. Let me give you a couple of objections here. This is common objections. Number one, well, preacher, by the way, if you hadn't heard this one, you just ask around. You'll get it. Preacher, are you going to adopt all those children? Is that what you're going to do? You're going to have big mother hen house and old Mother Hubbard in a shoe. You're just going to take all those little children and take them in like Mother Teresa. You're going to do that. You're going to open a big orphanage and all these kind of things. Now, what they're trying to do, they're just trying to put you back on your haunches. By the way, I've gotten this repeated. I got a lot of blank looks at me. If you've never gotten this one, I'll introduce you to some of my weird acquaintances here. Aren't you willing to adopt all these kids? Aren't you willing to adopt all these kids and all those kind of things? Well, again, you're asking the wrong question here. Asking the wrong question. Why aren't you willing to put them up for adoption? Number one. Number two, why haven't you sought that as an option? 2-1. 2-1. Prices pregnancy centers right now outnumber abortion clinics in the United States. Those are primarily church-funded, church-driven organizations, church-funded, church-driven orphanages, church-driven foster homes, church-driven adoption agencies, vastly outnumber any secular organizations. Why? Because the heart of the believer is that that child is precious, and that old person is precious, and that single person is precious. Let me help you here. And that gay person is precious, and that adulterer is precious, and that murderer is precious, because God made them, and God wants to save them, and God loves them. and our money is where our mouth is, and we've been doing it for years, and it's a foolish question. Sure, are we willing to adopt tomorrow? We've got people lined up who would love to have a child of their own. You willing to adopt them? Sure. Why do you only care about babies further born? Again, maybe we hadn't always done all we wanted, should have and should have done. But the church been putting his money where his mouth is a long time. Fire came, burned up so much of the Smoky Mountains, tore up house after house. I called, I begged, let us help you. Don't come. We have so many people and so many churches, so many religious groups who are camped up. They're feeding everybody. They're clothing everybody. We got stuff. The Red Cross was taking stuff, warehousing it, and shipping it out to other areas. The outpouring from the people of God in the 200 miles around the Great Smoky Mountains was unbelievable. They couldn't distribute it fast enough. They couldn't give it away fast enough. They couldn't give the money away fast enough. I had people from North Carolina. I had people all over the state of Tennessee saying, did anybody in your church, did they lose a house or anything? I said, no, we need a deck. You can come build that. And they called by the dozens, let us come and help. I called our people that I knew in contact and said, you can do this, you can do that, but we don't need more bodies on the ground. There are too many that are there. No, let me help you. The crowd that was marching yesterday, there wasn't as many of them doing what I'm talking about, trying to help people who lost their homes. Some of our Free Will Baptist preachers drove to Pigeon Forge, tried to find somebody, ask them who they were. They went to the shelters and all, put them in their vehicle, drove them to the Tanger Atlas, bought them clothes, bought them outfits, took them out to eat and all, with the money, with a charge card from their church, and just said, Jesus loves you. You are precious in his sight. Well, you only care about babies for the born. Baloney. Baloney. Let me do you one better. You know, we spend a lot of time and effort on junior church room. You Lydia gave up some of her nights and some of her days and used her artistic talent and put us a beautiful tree out there. Why? Because children are precious, not just babies are precious. We put money in our Sunday, in our Christmas offering because we're going to refurbish a nursery. Why? Because babies are precious in the sight of the Lord. Amen. One of the reasons Brandon wanted to come here is because he believes that children are precious in the sight of the Lord. Amen. One of the reasons we do a big deal, the reason we call out some of our shut-ins is because old people are precious in the sight of the Lord. Amen. Good. And say, what is this? No, it's just a baloney kind of question. We don't just care about babies there. These two are the ones that are most costly. If you read the editorials and the papers, these are the ones that are coming out now. If you read the ones, anybody been in college last 10 years, this is kind of thing. Well, that's just another mouth to feed. That's just another drain on the taxpayer. Let me help you for a second. She's not here today. I was going to give her attaboy. One of our new families has been coming. Tennessee. Somebody in Tennessee is talking about not being able to buy cookies and snacks and stuff with the debit cards. And I get that, but you're not punishing mom and dad. You're punishing the kids. So I don't know if that's a good idea. I think I know the reason behind it, but why would you take a cookie out of a kid's mouth? She said, and I love it, she said, I hope you're never in a place where you need the kindness of strangers. Before you get real high and mighty, I'd remind us, 120, 130 folks call this place home. They're not all here, not all here every Sunday. And more than a few got one of those cards. More than a few had one of those cards. More than a few made some unbelievably poor choices. And more than a few in here who have money to spare now, but who grew up with some coupons and some stamps and things like that. I can do you one better than that. The new director, the Housing Administration for these United States, grew up with a mother who could not read and grew up on the kindness of strangers. Dr. Ben Carson, who is a world-renowned medical surgeon. Before you look down your nose, remember, you're not talking about them, you're talking about us. Be real careful with your political rhetoric. Secondly, let me flip it on you. And here's where you get Hitler-like. Everybody talking about current president and all that, Hitler. No, here's Hitler. Here's Hitler. Well, if it costs too much, if all these people who aren't whatever and all their children, it just costs too much and it's just better to kill them in the womb. Think about what you're saying for a second. Rather than them being another needy mouth to, well, if you want to really save some money, just get the list, right? Just get to the list everybody saw and help. Government help, right? If you want to trim the list, just take out all the B's and all the D's and all the F's. If you want to cut some costs, right? Let me help you some more, everybody who's a little older. We can just round up all the B's and the D's and the F's. We can just round them all up and we can just put them in a camp and starve them to death, right? And I feed them. Hello? Isn't that exactly what Hitler did? Isn't that exactly what the Third Reich did? Isn't that exactly what they did? They said some lives are more valuable than others. When you say it costs too much and they're not going to take care of them and they're just baby-making factories and don't they know how to stop and blah, 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 I understand your aggravation and your fear, but the answer is not murdering the babies. It's never murdering the babies. If it was murdering people, you might as well just murder the people who are having the babies. Christian folks say mighty dumb stuff sometimes. Drain on the taxpayer. Well, sure. Cost. But the answer is not murder. It's not murder. I'm almost done. You still with me? Say amen. Margaret Sanger. If you want to read horrifically, just Google her. Read the positive, read the negative, then go back and read the positive and go, how does anybody ever say anything nice about this woman? Margaret Sanger, for all intents and purposes, is the father of the American modern abortion movement. She is one of the most, she's had some of the most unbelievable editing done to her life. Anybody I know anything about. She said, and this is some of the more milder comments she makes. She said, the most merciful thing a large family does to one of its infant members is to kill it. That eugenics there, that's our word for eugenics. Can you imagine? All of you grew up in a large family. If you were the caboose. When we say birth control now, do you understand we got that phrase primarily from her? She entered it into the modern vocabulary. Because she meant population control. She meant population control. You realize we took all the people of the United States, gave every one of them a 30 by 30 plot. They wouldn't take up the state of Georgia. We are not overpopulated. We are not overcrowding. These are eugenic words to get us to think that the undesirables need to be pruned. Prove it to me. Sure. On black people, immigrants, and indigents, that's bums, street people. She called them human weeds, reckless breeders, spawning human beings who should never have been born. Conservative state like North Carolina has been paying reparations for the past 15 or 20 years because up until the late 40s and 50s, they were sterilizing black people, they were sterilizing Indians, and they were sterilizing people because they believe this. Mess. You remember what I said a minute ago? Almost one out of every two African-American pregnancy ends in abortion. You know why? Because it's meant to. That was the plan. That was the plan. When you say people like me are racist, I don't know where you get that at. I know we say conservative Christians are racist because we don't believe that it's all right to kill babies. I don't know how more wrongheaded you could be when you are wiping out, mass murdering an entire segment of population. See, abortion is the intentional killing of an innocent human being. I have a video. I'm going to put it. Don't play it. I have a video I'm going to put online. If you want to talk to people who don't believe the Bible, you talk to them. Talk to them about SLED. Talk to them about their development. That's D. Talk to them about their location. Talk to them about that. Talk to them about those things. What difference does it make if baby's in the unborn or if she's 2 years old? Talk to them about their level of development. If it's all right to kill a baby, why is it not all right to kill a 2-year-old? They're not as developed as a 14-year-old. Abortion, no. See, it's a lie. It's a lie. It doesn't matter. It doesn't hurt anybody. I know people who have large families now who grieve over wrong choice or choices they made. It's a lie. It's not birth control. It's the ending of a life. It's a lie. Might as well call it what it is. It's murder. It's murder. Doesn't make me happy to say that. Somebody better say it. And the only hope you can have is in Christ. I'm thankful that sin is sin, and all sin God can forgive. And I don't want to, man, they're really weird and bad and terrible, but the guy over here who's drunk and beat his wife, you know, he's a little better guy. No, sin is sin. And what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the shed blood, the sacrifice of God and His dear Son. Nothing can wash away my sin but the death and burial and resurrection, the finished work of Christ. Only Christ can give hope. So what do we do as a church? Look right here, I'm done. We're going to stand. We're going to speak. We're going to love. We're going to participate. We're going to support any kind of place like the Hope Center. If you want to march, you can go to a World Fair Park 2 o'clock today. You can march. You can salute. You can engage. You can look at the resources I'm going to put online this afternoon. You can ingest them. You can put the good videos we share out, the thought-provoking ones. You can ask good questions. You can raise your children to know the difference between right and wrong. You can do that. But one of the things we're going to do today, we're going to repent. 57 million babies dead because the church sat on his hands. Look right here. If time, energy, investment, advertising had been put into what I talked about this morning rather than a two-horse race between two awful candidates, we'd have made a pretty good dent in the American Holocaust. Can I get an amen? But instead, we're worried about getting invited to parties, getting our bills heard, and all these kind of things. And I hope and pray that the people we elected are going to do something about the Holocaust. I get the form and the figure. But we could have done a little more. Say it's politically divisive. Fine. Fine. Hitler killing all the Jews was politically divisive. I got it. I will be divisive where the Bible is divisive. Amen? I'm not going to be an idiot. I'm not going to be a jerk. I'm not going to be ugly. Chuck Colson's group put out a little parable. I close with it. He said the house was fully engulfed when Joe the fireman arrived. 2 men were on the hose. He was with his axe. The father was screaming, "I don't know where my daughter is." Joe tore through the house, found the door, engulfed in smoke, kicked it down, looked around the pink room scattered with dolls and posters, and melting picture frames, to a closed closet door. He yelled to no response. By this point, the room was fully engulfed. He took the blunt end of his axe, wedged open the door that had swollen due to the heat, and saw in a crumpled heap a little girl. He grabbed the little girl and he never took his eyes off of her. By this point, the room was full of smoke, flames above and below. He couldn't go back the way he came, but all his thoughts were on the little girl. Joe left his axe, wrapped her best he could in his arms and his gloves. Second story window, only way out was through. He put his shoulder to the glass, jumped, landed, cuts, parts of his body, twisted, both ankles sprained badly, one. He rolled to safety, cradling the girl. Seeing she was unresponsive, began emergency CPR, just a few short puffs and a few short pulses, and she was coughing. As they put her on the cart and took her to the ambulance and put the oxygen, as they attended to his wounds, all Joe would do is look at the little girl. The councilman came by, said, "How in the world could he do that? Who's going to feed the little girl?" And Joe didn't listen. He just looked at the little girl. And the lady from the progressive movement came by and said, "Don't you know the statistics? Don't you understand the burden? Don't you know?" And Joe didn't listen. He just looked at the little girl. The liberal pastor came and said, "Who do you think you are? Who do you think you are? The world's crowded enough as it is. She'll probably end up in poverty." He didn't listen. He just looked at the little girl. Can I ask you to tune out all the other? And just look and say that all life is precious and sacred, young and old. And let's rescue all we can. Would you join me this morning? Would you pray with me that we would be a light and a beacon? That people in crisis would find a place of hope, rest here. That we'd not only have good answers, but compassion for them. And maybe you're like me. Maybe you're saying 57 million is 57 million too many. And you want to come and you want to pray this morning. And you want to pray that God would help us to stop the Holocaust and to teach young people and to reach college-age students and give them the truth and give them what God says to them. And help them to understand there's freedom and forgiveness from their sin. If you're here today and I've described part of your past, I mean not to bring you any injury. I assure you, you are loved and prayed for. And maybe you're here and you just want to come and talk to God about it. Maybe you're here and maybe you're here as a man or as a woman. You've got influence. Your job, you've got influence in your neighborhood and your family, and you want to be a light and a beacon for what is right. Maybe you're just like me and you're just broken about what I've said to you, that a country that we live in does this routinely and casually to the tune of a small country or the lower third of our United States. And you want to come and talk to God about it. I invite you to do that this morning. If you're here today and you've never asked Christ to save you from your sins, I assure you that He is able to save you to the uttermost, to those who cast their faith on Him. And if you would come in brokenness and repentance today, that God would give you not only hope but help, and that you could find freedom and forgiveness. I invite you, as we all stand to our feet, I want to invite you, many of you, to come and pray. Pray for our people, our country. Pray for our leaders, our president, vice president, all the legislatures, the new governors, all these folks, that they would do what is right, that they would honor the Bible, what is right morally, that they would do justice, they would pursue righteousness, that they would do this. And we'd keep our eyes on the little girl. We'd keep our eyes on the little girl.